In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
Brothers and sisters, we celebrate today the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. It's a beautiful feast that the Church gives us to commemorate, and we'll speak about that in a moment. But first, I want to share something with you that occurred this past week while my family and I were traveling. We went up to New Jersey for a couple of days to be with family. And when we were coming back, we were in the car together, and I started to hum this song. And it was a child song, one that actually our daughter Elizabeth was singing earlier in the day. And it was Elizabeth who said, "Papa, stop. Stop humming that song." And I said, "Why? You were just singing it earlier. Why do I have to stop?" And she said, "Well, because if you continue with it, it's going to be in my head all day long." And I think we all know that experience when a song gets stuck in our heads all day long. It can be sometimes torturous. This illustrates actually a spiritual principle, a spiritual law. Because songs have lyrics. Lyrics have words. Words have meanings. Meanings carry messages. Messages have purposes. Purposes culminate in goals. The goals that we have form our characters, and our characters become our destinies. So the songs that we listen to can actually lead us in potentially the right direction and potentially the wrong direction. Now, I know that Elizabeth probably wasn't thinking about all the deep theology behind it, but at the same time, she knew that if that song were to be with her all day, that would become her destiny, right? And she didn't want that. She wanted something better. When we think about today's feast, the Nativity of St. John, the forerunner and Baptist of the Lord, we think about him as this voice out in the wilderness. This voice crying, "Prepare yourselves, make things ready, because the Lord is coming." He's this voice that cries out according to the Word of God. The Word is one of the great descriptions of the Son of God. And it speaks to us about the very nature of creation. Because it was that Word that called things into being. He spoke and they were created. And it was this Word that not only brought things into being, but gave things their meaning and their purpose. Everything in creation has a word that describes it. What it is, what it's used for, what its purpose is. And it's actually words that allow us to understand concepts and ideas. For instance, the word music is different from the word noise. The word food is different from the word poison. Up is different from down. Right is different from wrong. Words allow us to differentiate things, to contrast things. Words also allow us to define things. When we discover something new about God's created order, his universe, we have to name it. We have to describe it. Words also allow us to pass down knowledge. Many of the things that we know nowadays are simply because they were discovered or they were revealed to those who came before us. And they wrote them down. We read books. And books teach us about the world. And they teach us about ourselves. Even in our universities, some schools have a great books program where they read simply the great books of our era. And this is how the students come to understand the world and come to understand themselves. But we all know those times in life where we find there are no words to explain how we feel or what has happened to us or what's going on in the world. We're just without words. And in these situations, where can we go for answers? We go to the writers of the great books. We go to the best that our culture, our civilization can offer to us. But they're human beings who have their own limitations, who make their own mistakes. And they don't have these answers to these deep questions of life. And this is why the Word of God comes to us. to give us these answers and to become this answer. The Word of God communicates to us the understanding of how the world and the human person are in actuality, and how the world and the human person are meant to be, according to potentiality, the ideal. So we understand where we are and where we are to go by the Word of God. And today we remember St. John the Baptist, who was the last of the prophets, the last of those to whom the Word of God came and spoke. We read about the previous prophets. The Word of God came to Jeremiah, to Ezekiel, Hosea, Jonah, Micah, etc., etc. But St. John is the last of these prophets. Why? Because the Word of God takes on flesh and speaks directly to us. All of these prophets that foretold the coming of the Messiah, they were foretelling the coming of the Word of God who would speak directly. And St. John was the last of these. He was that last voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." When we read about St. John, in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3, it says, "The Word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight. The rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.'" So St. John comes as his voice in the wilderness, calling for order, returning things back to what they should be through repentance. Where there is deformation, he tries to reform. And St. John is a builder, not of societies, of cultures. His work was for the human person to be restored and refashioned. That is what he was about, the restoration of the human person to divine order. The birth of St. John the Baptist was somewhat paradoxical. When we think about his father, Zacharias was a priest, his mother was righteous with him and blameless, walking in all of the commandments of the Lord. They had their life ordered, but they didn't have a child. And it was God who sent the word to the archangel Gabriel to deliver that word to Zacharias, to deliver that word to St. John, the forerunner. It was God who spoke, and St. John came into being. But before he could come into being, something had to happen to his father. What happened to happen to his father? He had to become mute. The father had to become mute so that the son could speak and become the voice. Interesting. Why? Because the father, Zacharias, lacked faith. He didn't fully trust the word of the angel, which was the word of God. Zacharias needed to learn to be quiet and not speak against the word of God. And it was actually this quietude that we see in the life of St. John the Forerunner, because he goes out into the wilderness. He leaves society. He doesn't hear those songs that we hear all the time in the car from our parents humming. He goes out into the middle of nowhere, and there's utter silence. And there he brings, in this silence, his whole personhood into order and quietude. There, St. John becomes not only a hermit, but an ascetic. Even he becomes, as sometimes he's depicted in our icons, an angel in the flesh. Sometimes we see St. John depicted with wings, right? Why? Because he lived like a bodiless one. He lived the spiritual life. But also because an angel, angelos in Greek, is a messenger. Someone who is meant to communicate a message. And St. John is the voice of the word. And it's in this silence, in the environment, and in himself that he hears the word of God. And he listens to the word of God and he orders himself. And then he begins to help other people order themselves, calling them to repentance. Before he speaks, he listens. And he preaches that message that he himself heard and fulfilled. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent. Change our minds. Change our hearts. Change our wills. Change our lives. Change everything, bringing it back from disorder to order, from deformation to formation. And St. John tells everyone to separate the good from the bad, to look within oneself, and start seeing the difference between the light and the darkness, the good and the evil. And everything that is evil, he says, name it. Name it. Look within yourself and name your sin. Confess your sin. Expel it from you. And be washed and be clean. St. John preaches this repentance that is at the very core of the renewal of ourselves, the renewal of this world, the renewal of creation. Repentance is at the very heart of that. And yet it's something that is so distasteful. No one likes repentance. And it's certainly, you know, the Baptist has kind of, well, very little popularity today because he was so strict a preacher of repentance, right? He was calling for full repentance for everyone, no exceptions. We don't like this strict call to repentance. And our world says to us, did God really say that? Does he really want to be this strict with us? Does he really want this full measure of repentance? Think about the scriptures. Where do you hear that phrase? Did God really say? Who can remember where that first occurs in the scriptures? Did God really say this? Garden of Eden, the book of Genesis, right? Adam and Eve are living in paradise, the ordered world. They are ordered themselves, all by the beautiful design of God himself. And the devil comes in and says, did God really tell you that you can't eat from any of these trees? Notice what the devil did. Notice what he did. First, he questions God. Did God really say this? Creating a little sense of doubt. But then he puts into God's mouth the wrong words. He says, did God really say that you must not eat from any tree in the garden? God never said that. He never said you can't eat from any tree. He said you can eat from any tree but one. The one that will bring you to the knowledge of good and evil and the one that will bring you to death. Don't touch it. That is the only strictness. Do not go near corruption and death. That is what God said. God gave man total freedom outside of that. To eat of any tree, to enjoy them all. So the devil says, did God really say that? And twists the word of God. That began the fall from paradise, and that also actually, those very same words begin the fall in this post-Christian world. We look back at what has been handed down to us from the apostles, from the fathers, and the world twists it. Did God really say that you can't enjoy anything in this life? No. Just the opposite. God gave us freedom for all of this enjoyment, but not the freedom to fall into sin, which leads to corruption and death. I mentioned songs. Songs have such power. And sometimes we don't even know that a song is being sung. It has such power over us. An example in mythology, everyone knows about the sirens, right? You'd have these voyagers going on a journey in the ship, and they would come by this place where there were the rocks, and the sirens would sing this song. And before you even recognized that you were hearing the song, even if you were on the lookout, it started to enter into you. And once you started to get hooked on this song, you just said, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so good. I'm gonna go towards this song. I gotta find its source. And then you go into the rocks and you die and perish. You know what the sirens were singing? They were singing, did God really say that? That's what they were singing. And that's what our society sings in this post-Christian world. Did God really say that? St. John was the one who didn't listen to that song. He separated himself from society. He went out in the middle of nowhere. And actually, that's what the church does in this world. The church separates herself from this sway of the devil. And together, we begin actually singing a different song. Because, you know, if you're going past where the sirens are going to be singing their song, what's the best thing you could do? You can cover your ears, right? That's one thing. But, you know, when Ella asked me, Papa, can you stop humming that song? She also asked me to put on some other music. Why? Because you can't just forget a song by covering your ears, right? You have to learn a new tune. And that's exactly what we have to do. It's not enough just to be silent, to be mute, like Zacharias. We have to learn to hear, like St. John, and speak and sing the Word of God. That's what we do in this church, in this ark. We sing the Word of God. And it resounds with such an echo, every time and place, singing the same song, every day and age, every people and culture. Everyone in the church sings the same song. It's the Word of God. And it protects us from sin, corruption, and death. And it unites us to righteousness, incorruption, and life. Because this is the song of God the Word. And it's for each and every one of us to learn this. Like St. John learned it. Like the apostles, like the fathers. Like those who came before us, to learn it and to sing it and to hold each other accountable to it. When we start to drift and we start to hear other songs, did God really say that? We correct ourselves. We call ourselves back. Brothers and sisters, St. John was the voice in the wilderness. He was the greatest of the prophets. He was the one who prepared the way for the Lord. We have received the Lord. We have heard that word of God, receiving it within ourselves, individually and communally, collectively. It's our job to make sure that that ministry of St. John, that ministry of the apostles, that ministry of the church continues, and that's to teach other people this song. Elizabeth had that desire for something better. Everyone has the desire for something better. And we have it, and we must share it. Glory to Jesus Christ.